Hi, everybody, and welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation.
Are we?
Maybe.
I am. I love you, audience. Join us.
Not
Google
a cult.
Gobble. Google gobble.
Not a cult. Do we have protein? Do we have protein?
I just
ate dinner.
Yeah, I also ate dinner. I had microwaved country fried steak.
I had chicken and dumpling soup, jerks.
I had chicken and rice.
So we have protein. Not a cult. Sorry, go
not
on.
A cult. Not a cult. Yes.
Wait, Kat, did you have chicken?
I had egg.
Oh,
so chicken. So, yeah. All chickens.
Oh, wait. Once it starts matching, at what point does it come right around the corner and become
a cult
again?
Don't think about it.
Don't think about it. Don't think about it.
Don't think about it.
And not thinking about it. I'm Brendan, and... Oh, no.
What? That's kept you from... I'm recording.
Oh, no, but what do you do for an intro for this?
What's kept you?
Yeah, what has kept you?
What's kept me? Oh, I'm Brendan, and honestly, between being part of two very active improv teams and having now two dogs, holy crap, that eats up a lot of your time. So that's what's kept me from coming to the mic.
Active and successful.
Whoa. Ooh. This is I'm Pippin, and what kept me from the podcast is I got kidnapped by Mickey Mouse.
Mm. Also, you moved.
I also moved and got a new job, blah, 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 but mostly I got kidnapped by Mickey Mouse.
Kidnapped, and then, I'm sorry, so audience, we can actually all see each other today, because we turn on the video for once. And Pip, I have to say, when you say you got kidnapped by Mickey Mouse, you do have a kind of, like, cat that's got the cream look on your face. It does make it sound like he kidnapped you, but at what point did you, like, turn that around? It became, like, this whole, like, seducing your, like, captor situation? She's now put on Mickey Mouse ears.
Minnie Mouse ears.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're correct. Minnie Mouse ears.
Are you suggesting that Pip fuck to Mickey Mouse?
I would never do that to Minnie.
Did you fuck Minnie? Did you fuck
Minnie? I don't want to talk about it.
Gosh, things got weird here.
Don't bring Goofy into this.
Goofy watched!
Someone else's turn now. Y'all made it weird.
Well, we made it weird.
I'm Alex, and really the only thing that's kept me from this is the MBTA.
I mean, you've braved the green line, Al.
Like, Boston listeners, you know.
If you know, you know.
The thin green line.
And the red line and the orange.
He braved three lines of the T.
Well, I
fear him.
Spill that tea.
I actually don't take the red line yet.
Oh, God. And I'm Kat. What kept me from this is a day job. Whatever, day job. More
Rick
importantly,
you're special.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing.
What?
What did you say?
I said like you're special.
Yeah, right. It's true. But also, I'm doing that thing where apparently I'm a grad student. And making terrible choices because of it. Shout out to the interactive media and game design program that currently has destroyed my life.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Poor choices that get you, recognized and complimented genius.
Did I mention that I've been asked to give a presentation at a class? I did. I did mention that. I mean, oh, yeah, that's right.
Here's the thing. Doing that in your mid-30s or mid to late 30s is probably better than what I did with doing that same stuff in, my mid-20s.
Brendan.
The most active and fun time in my life.
Brendan.
Yeah, huh?
How old am I? How old
You're
am
40.
I, Brendan?
Oh, God, wait, no, 40.
How old am I, Brendan?
I was trying to be charitable and nice.
Wait. Actually, no, how old are you?
These bees here are 42, babes, and that's an age to decide that it's okay to do all-nighters again.
Cat!
not this semester, yet.
Cat, no!
Yeah.
Are you only you doing this year, or are you doing this year and the next?
Ho ho ho! So technically, an MFA, for that is what I am getting. An MFA is supposed to be only 3 years, but because I'm taking it part time, because I'm getting it for free through my job, it is going to take a sweet, sweet 5 years worth of this. Of this.
5 years of bullshit.
Woo!
No, it's actually a good time.
I am unfortunately having a good time and therefore cannot justify quitting.
What's fun is that I get to compare like my old class notes to Kat now. Sharing like, oh yeah, let's talk about indirect control.
To be fair, I do want, actually I need more of that for reasons. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
but I may be doing an interactive poster about the nature of consent when it comes to getting players to do what you want.
I'll see if I can find my textbook. Do you want me to, like, when do you need it?
I don't know.
Okay, that's the title of the Racy book, Indirect Consent.
Oh, whoa, wait, not that. Indirect Control. Indirect Control is the title of a racy book. Indirect Consent is the title of a felony.
Yeah, oh god.
Fair enough.
Oh no.
But it does remind me of Pippin's weird, remember Pippin's book series from episode.
My amazing book series.
From episode fill in the blank here about the law romances that she's definitely going to write.
Legal briefs.
That was a good
It's one. Funny because it's underwear.
Funny because it's a pun.
Yep.
Pun is the lowest form of humor, and I stand by that.
Word puns play. Puns are like highly.
Nope.
They're high comedy. They're ancient.
Nope.
If and it's actually, good enough for Shakespeare, it's good enough for me.
Exactly.
Shakespeare did a lot, Pippin.
And actually, the whole entire puns being lowest form of comedy was basically. Annoying people during the Renaissance being like, well, I can't make puns well, so I'm just going to call them low comedy and low art.
I get sent to pun jail a lot.
Yes, pun you jail. Do. And you know what? You fucking deserve it.
I feel that the crime doesn't fit the punishment.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Listeners, I rest my fucking case.
Here's the thing. You don't have authority to send me to pun jail.
Don't I?
No, you don't.
Do I I will text somebody and see if I can find
you. Don't have jurisdiction here.
I fucking dare you to.
No. I will automatically lose. You know what?
What are we talking about?
What is today's topic?
Good point, because, you know, here's the thing. It's been a minute since we've actually had the time to get on our schedules lining up to actually record. Who knew?
I've missed talking to y'all, by the way.
I've also missed you.
Wow.
So Brendan's going to leave very abruptly, and the rest of us are going to hang out.
So what we're actually going to do is we're just going to catch up a bit and kind of talk about some of the stuff that we've been watching and reading lately. Because you know what? In some ways, we are also a media discussion and media literacy kind of podcast here.
What?
And honestly, it's interesting to see what people have been into lately.
Where have you been? What have you been doing?
And also,
Cheryl.
And if it helps drum up some ideas for future episodes, maybe. Might actually prove useful.
I'll kick things off because I still read a whole lot and I've been trying to and I'll also watch new stuff that not
Flex.
That isn't necessarily like stuff that I would naturally go and watch myself because here's the thing, if you're doing live performances for improv comedy, sometimes people will give you pop culture or fiction requests that you don't know about because it's pop culture. That's how it works.
So is this how you tell us? That, is this like your revelation to us, your confession that you've become a Swiftie?
We actually have a Taylor Swift show next month that I need to start catching up on. So I'll have to start kind of catching up so I can make some references.
Let me know if you need help. I like Taylor Swift. My roommate is a Swiftie. She keeps up on all of it.
My roommate's a Swiftie.
Here, I'll show you guys on the camera here the promo picture of me.
If it's not an Eras reference, what's the point? Nice. Nice. Good job.
Our guest star.
Audience, Brendan has shared to the camera an amazing Photoshop of him on a Taylor Swift album cover.
That's one of our teammates.
Amazing. Oh, nice. Oh my God.
It's a great album.
It's a series of edited screens.
Because it's going to be the Eras concert.
Yep.
Oh my God. This is beautiful.
That would be Evermore.
Is any of this available to link later?
It's all on the Select Start Instagram.
Ooh, speaking of...
Going to be on the Select Start Instagrams as part of show promotion for the next month.
Nice.
Follow us on Instagram. Oh.
Speaking of follow us on Instagram, so we've all ditched Twitter by now, right?
Yeah. I haven't logged on in months.
Yeah,
there's like a couple of people I still follow who haven't got transferred to Blue Sky yet, just waiting for that to happen.
So inevitable. What is our current social look for No Story is Sacred? Do we want to do Blue Sky? It's become open now.
I mean, it's open.
Yeah.
They probably do it pretty easy now, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought actually, they already did.
I can do some behind-the-scenes stuff and have us be self-verified through our webpage, probably.
Nice.
I have to go in and add some script, basically. Okay. Neil Gaiman did a big post about it on Blue Sky a while back.
And if it's good enough for Neil, I'm pretty sure it's good enough for us.
Yeah.
So goes Neil, so goes the world.
I know, knowing some stuff.
I know, right? Ooh, the sibling gossip chamber closes its doors on this one.
I'm mostly knowing that he's a human being, but whatever.
I know, like, it's mostly, oh no, our heroes are humans.
Sounds fake. Anyway, yeah. So let's
see if we can
back on topic. I've been watching some new stuff. I'll be having to, you know, get some more Taylor Swift knowledge aside from just the quick one or two references, because I'm a professional and I try to make good references during my shows and all that whenever I can.
I hate to tell you this, but she's also dating a football player, so sports is mixed up in this too.
I didn't know that Travis Kelce had a brother who's also like...
He pays for the Eagles.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And that came up in a show.
They have a podcast.
Yeah, I know that too now. Listen, me and my stage partner at the time, we had the Kelce brothers selling used cars or something. It was great. We're moving on now.
This is the best thing I've ever fucking heard.
It was a good scene, damn it.
Anyway, did you record it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's somewhere.
We'll find it.
Have to pull the camera footage. Anyway, so I've been watching some new stuff, and in one of the other podcasts I was listening to or something, somebody had mentioned watching the show Reacher on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. What is I haven't seen it. What is Reacher?
Imagine if Sherlock Holmes was 6'5", used to be in the army, and has violence in his heart. More so than Sherlock Holmes usually does.
I was about to say, I don't know. Sounds real. It sounds like an amalgam of Watson and Holmes.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah,
been in the army, weird anger in his soul.
So they fusion hard.
Yes, but like they combined their body mass together. So you have like the guy who plays the character, which is funny as hell because like in the movies or in the one movie, Tom Cruise played the same character. It's like these do not line up.
who plays Reacher in the show?
I don't know. He looks like he could eat a phone book.
Alan Richardson. Who?
Alan Richardson.
Oh, wait. I think I know who that is, but let me double check to see whether or not I'm lying to myself. Oh, he's Billed.
Yeah. No.
Hey, buddy.
So, like, Oh, the first season.
Well, shit.
You know, he just randomly comes to town. It's established that, you know, the guy is like a drifter, basically, since retiring from the army. Special investigations. Because, of course.
Because, of course. This guy looks like what Chris, like, if somebody was trying to describe Chris Evans' Captain America to someone who had never seen Captain America or Chris Evans, yeah. This is what, or...
He's also played a Ninja Turtle.
Good for him.
Or, who's that one comic book artist who does terrible art?
Oh,
like,
God.
With enormous chests and like, 80,000 muscles?
Shoot, I can't remember.
Is it Glenn something?
No.
I bet if you Google who does terrible comic book art.
Like, is it the guy who does Spawn?
No.
No, he does really...
Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
Liefeld.
This guy Liefeld. Looks like a real-life Rob Liefeld, whatever, character. Like, walking onto the stage. Now you've got it. Now there's the picture. I'm sorry, Brendan. Go on.
But yeah, so... And oh God, yeah. Pippin's just shared on the screen the terrible Captain America. Duh. Anyway, yeah, like the first season, he comes and, you know, the mysterious stranger walks into town and there's murder afoot. We soon learned that it was his brother who got murdered. And so he was just going to leave town as soon as the false murder accusation against him was cleared up. But then he kind of goes, nah, I'm not going to leave now. Why not? Well, I'm going to find all the people who murdered my brother and kill them horribly. And you know what? At least to the audience, that man doesn't lie to you.
There you go.
Because over the course of the season, guess what happens?
Oh, so the story fucking delivered.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. It makes some promises and goes, here you go. So there was a time in the second season where even this wasn't even a promise. I don't want to go into heavy spoiler territory or do we not care and this is just fun to have.
Yeah.
Like he has a phone conversation with a big, bad, evil guy who had been murdering his old squad mates from the special investigations.
Not that special, are they, then? Getting murdered?
Yeah. but basically murdering them by throwing out of helicopters, like you do.
That's pretty
and,
special.
And the big, bad, evil guy, being somewhat intelligent, goes like, look, I will give you anything you want if you just stop investigating now. And you know what the guy says? All I want is to throw you out of a helicopter. And you know what shows up in the final action-adventure climax set piece? A freaking helicopter.
A plus.
Yeah. Now, that's not to say that the show doesn't have its own, you know, light issues and all that. Like, honestly, a lot of the female characters could be a lot better developed and written. There were some improvements done by second season. But, you know... That could be improved. That being said, you also just go in it to see this 6'5", heavily built man go and break people's limbs a lot.
I do think that there's a lot of value in a 6'5", heavily built man making me a promise and then keeping it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, because this is like prestige TV, like... In a movie, they would probably, like, cut away to the reaction of the guy getting their limb broken. In this, it's like, no, we're going to hold. You're going to see that leg get broken in half.
Oof. Oh, shit.
And also, the singularly least believable thing of the show is just seeing these random, you know, bad guys, gangs, and all that come up to the 6'5", heavily muscled man with murder in his eyes and thinking, you know what? I could take him in a fist fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got this.
Yeah. Narrative loves me. It wouldn't do things to me.
Never.
I'm the main character.
Never ever.
So in the Mage Worlds fan cast,
ooh.
Would this be Ari?
Yes. Yeah,
100%.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of it, like, 2 seconds. Like, this guy, Get him some dark hair dye. Done.
Yep.
Done.
I mean, if he doesn't want to dye his hair, I don't care.
Also done. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Done's up. Yeah. Becca's blonde. I mean,
the book covers did that. So.
Yeah, so we should definitely do things based on book covers.
I mean, the Price of Stars book cover, though.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
Audience, look that shit up. And not just to buy it, which you then should.
Yeah, you obviously should.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like 10 copies.
You guys know that Mom and Dad actually had their own cosplayer?
Ooh.
Yeah, showed up at a convention dressed as Becca.
Aww.
From the cover.
Because, listen, Becca looked hot.
Becca looks so fucking hot.
Or
do we?
That's a good point. In that gear is that Becca or
that? I think that's Tourniquet.
Yeah, that's
that
Tourniquet.
Yeah, that's Tourniquet.
Hot either way.
Hot both ways. Oh, that's what Jess said.
That's what Justin said.
That's what Justin said.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, look, I know.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna make a joke about let's do more in jokes for books people haven't necessarily read. What? Sorry,
do we know?
But if you haven't read them yet, why are you here? Come on.
Yeah, get out.
Damn it.
You can pause and come back.
And then also go ahead and read my books while we're at it. And
in the future, when Pip and I have written our books and Bren has one of his scripts adapted into a series.
Yeah.
Just pause this now and go do all of that.
Take it all that up. In.
But do we know who the artist was for the Potts book?
I don't know, but they did a great job. It was a beautiful example of using what's it called? Lines in art. You know, where you use lines to direct focus. So
perspective.
Yeah, well, it uses perspective, but it uses very old school perspective. Like we're gonna get out the rulers. But to do that, but all lines in the
cockpit.
Yeah, it's in the cockpit of the ship are pointing towards Becca Tourniquet.
Hot.
Very hot.
I maintain.
Yeah, correct.
You know, and here's the thing, tying it back to this show here.
What?
Preacher, Becca has promises, and you know what?
She keeps them.
Yep.
I mean, she gets given half of those promises, but she's like, you're going to do this. And she's like, I am? Like, yep. And she's like, I am. Okay.
Cool.
Well, if she doesn't keep them, who else is?
Oh, and that's such a mood.
Mood.
Yeah, of the series, to be honest. All right, so Bren, is that your vibe? Is that your media for today that you'd like to bring up for now?
I can bring up more later, because I've been,
But only for now.
Yeah, I want to have everybody have chances to talk, and then, we can circle back.
I vote that we basically cap it off with what I think is inevitably going to end with of Discworld. I think we end with that.
I think ending with Discworld. Oh, and look at this. We're making a promise to the audience.
That
Let's
we'll
see
keep.
If we can keep it.
Thematic.
What?
Speaking of promises. Uh-huh. No, I don't know. Oh, if my thing actually has promises. I watched Bullet Train recently. A good movie.
Yeah.
What is? Give me a rundown of Bullet Train.
So Brad Pitt is a
that too. Yeah.
Yep. Is a a snatch and grab guy for it's implied that he was formerly a hitman and he has a skill and he definitely has the skills for it, and he's on a job. He's not even supposed to be here today.
Oh, my favorite. Does he have a stuffed bunny over here?
He is on the phone a lot.
Yeah. He's just supposed to get onto this bullet train in Japan, grab a case, get off.
Sounds easy.
On this train are about 4 or 5 other hitmen.
The world's greatest assassins are all on one train.
It's a convention.
I was going to say, weirder places have had conventions.
Oh, yeah.
And
or hookups.
Hey.
Also, his code name is Ladybug.
Oh. You know, to be honest, yeah.
Well, ladybugs are lucky. He has bad luck.
Well, it's complicated luck.
It gets explained. The meaning gets explained to by a wise elderly Japanese man.
Is this a comedy, a thriller?
Comedy.
Action comedy.
Oh.
With lots of violence.
Style.
Ooh, nice.
It is a, what was it? A style, action spectacle. Variety? Action spectacle.
Okay.
There's lots of flashbacks that happen too.
Like, everyone gets a flashback. Some of them get a flashback that lasts longer than their time on the train.
Yep.
Love that.
You also get some fourth wall breaking, at least in the flashbacks. I don't know if they do it while in the train, but in the context of the flashbacks, because it's usually done in the form of somebody telling somebody else about somebody's reputation.
I do like that.
Case in point, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, okay, 2022, okay. I believe.
Yeah.
It's good. It's on one of the streaming services. Netflix, yeah.
Oh, Netflix, which I have gotten rid of. Fuck off, Netflix. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
But yeah.
Like, one of the assassins is a Mexican and drug cartel stab guy who is like very much like his entire style is like El Mariachi. He even says mi corazón.
Holy shit.
And he's played by Bad Bunny.
I heard he played Shrek.
He did. Shrek Infinite.
there's also the two British were operatives.
The brothers.
The Cockney brother are operatives. You know.
Yep.
So it is.
I loved their flashback. because like their flashback of their reputation as being good assassins is them bickering
over
in the form of the flashback. Yeah.
Over the kill
I
count.
Love that. I love that.
It was 16. No, it was 17. No, 16. And
explosion.
Do you mind if we do this? It shows the title card shows they're doing this or something to that effect.
Knowing that this is a comedy, I am now infinitely more interested.
Yeah. Pippin, we should do this. We should watch this.
We should.
And of course, not everything is as it seems because there's five or six hitmen on one train is a bit of a statistical anomaly.
What's the group noun for a group of assassins?
A murder?
Fair enough.
Not a hit job. A paycheck?
Yeah, fair.
A murder is still better. Too bad crows already have. Does that mean all crows are assassins? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Obviously.
Yeah, there you go. You've heard it here fourth.
Yeah. Also, like, throughout this whole movie, the whole movie, they're talking up the White Death. Like, this.
Colonialism?
What?
Colonialism.
Sure, let's go with that. But no, he does this thing where he takes out a revolver, starts playing Russian roulette by spinning the thing across his arm.
How sexually is he doing it? Because that
is kind of sexual.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So you're getting your buy-in.
Nicely done. And I'm also horrified. No puns.
All the puns.
And you know, it's fun, and also, it has a theme, and it sticks to it.
Nice.
Almost better like than the we promise can that it kept.
Wait, that only assumes that Brad Pitt picks up the thing and then leaves. We don't know that, Pippin. We can't know that.
We won't spoil that.
Yeah. Spoil everything else, but not that.
Yeah.
I mean, for all you know, Brad Pitt picks up the friends he made along the way.
It's true.
Does he pick them up or pick them up?
Pick them up. As long as it's open-ended, so to speak, I'm fine.
Well, he's in constant contact with his handler, so.
I bet he is.
And
secretly, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is like what's happening in the background.
I think that's a new series.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Okay. It's directed by James Reich. Reich. It's the guy who did Deadpool.
Oh nice. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Alright.
And let this be a lesson on the let this be a lesson on toxic anger.
Toxic masculinity.
The toxicity of anger.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's what it is.
Okay.
Because he's been going to therapy.
And that makes him better at killing people. Yay!
He's trying to better himself, man.
Good for him. Love that for him.
Good for him.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
All right, Kat, do you want to go or do you want me to?
Well, I have one that I want to do. And if I do it, there's one I want you to do, but I don't know if you're going to do it.
So how about you do it first, Kat, just to make sure Pippin does it and is pressured to do it.
Oh, that's a very good point. So in which case,
I could just bat clean up for all of us.
No, because I think that you should talk about Loki.
Here's the thing. I was going to talk about Once Upon a Time, but I can do both.
Oh my god. I was not going to talk about Once Upon a Time because... No. So what I want to talk about
It's taken up a lot of my time.
I know, it's so true. I want to talk about, I have been watching Strange New Worlds, the Star Trek. Well, more importantly, I've been watching both of the more recent Star Treks. There's like eight new ones. I have been watching Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Lower Decks is the cartoon, and Strange New Worlds is the one that's from Pike's era, which is pre-Captain Kirk.
He was a captain of the Enterprise before Kirk.
Yeah. And what's really great...
Spock's definitely in it.
What's really great is that there's a very... they're both really great in a lot of different ways, but I would say that Lower Decks is not for the uninitiated.
No.
By a long shot. It is filled with in-jokes and references and...
Deep cuts.
I'm sure it's very deep cuts. I'm sure it's still entertaining if you've never watched Star Trek. Because otherwise it's a failure of a... As a piece of entertainment.
Well, as a piece of mass media entertainment.
Fair enough.
Because are you going to say that fan fiction, Pippin? Are you going to say fan fiction is not entertaining?
Pippin? I'm not going to get into this fight with you.
Because I fucking
Not when I didn't mean it the way you took it.
The way it could be actually read. Go on.
Lower Decks is also... I think I told you guys, like, a love letter to Star Trek.
Absolutely. So, for instance, it will visit the other shows, so to speak, other locations. It'll bring in past characters with the voice actors being voiced by the actual people.
Including Tom Paris.
I know. No, not just that. The episode on Deep Space Nine Quark. It has Kira Nerys. But it also has, like, all these really fun references to, one of the opening shots to, for instance, Deep Space Nine was literally a sort of curve around of the station, you know, as if you are a ship, as if you're going around it. And on Lower Decks, we have the ship and they're like, listen, we got to buy some time. Just go around the pylons a few times, just like you're looking for parking. And so it goes around. And as the ship goes around, we get that opening sequence from Deep Space Nine. And I'm sitting here being like, oh, my God. And like the wormhole opens in the background and it gets to the end of the sequence. And shoots back to the bridge, and they're like, are we going around again? He's like, just go around again. And it does the whole thing over again with the music and the beautiful opening. It's fucking hilarious. But I also just watched, like, the Voyager episode, and it's set well after all of these other shows. And so Voyager has returned to the... Oh, spoiler for the Voyager. has returned to the Alpha Quadrant and is being set up to be a museum. But unfortunately, like, the petal from the flower that created Tuvix in that one episode falls off, creates another Tuvix situation. Meanwhile, because there's holodeck whatever's everywhere because of the Doctor, there's... the holodecks, was it, the safety protocols go on random, and it proceeds to make every, like, the, do you remember the evil clown?
Oh, yeah.
The evil clown. The evil clown shows up, as well as, like, the Irish bartender that, like, Catherine Janeway, like, seduced, like, one episode.
And the 1950s villain.
Yep, Chaotica. Yep, Dr. Chaotica. He showed up. And the cheese that broke Voyager, that's part of it. The things that were gigantic diseases, or, you know, amoeba, yeah. But huge. The Borg.
One episode.
And
20 minutes.
They made a robot version because they need it for the display. They made little robot versions of the space lizards. Do you remember which ones?
I do.
Yeah. And then the little space lizards then became Borg. It was amazing. One episode, 20 minutes, 25 minutes or whatever. So on the one hand, we have like these really deep cut episodes it's fascinating. It's interesting. It shows the lower decks. It shows like parts of the ship that we've never seen. And the
grunt work.
What?
The grunt work.
Absolutely, the grunt work. And sort of shows the flip of, you know, if every episode is an adventure and a, you know, gigantic philosophical ideals, cool, but the ship still has to fucking go places.
Yeah.
And also, they're on a California class, which is known for doing second contacts. Not first. Seconds. Just showing up being like, everybody okay? We still good?
We all cool here?
We still okay?
Yes.
So why are you worshiping your ancient evil computer god again?
Well, he was there.
He said we were pretty.
The flip side to that is Strange New Worlds, which on the one hand would feel like you'd have to know a lot because like it's set deep in the trenches of the beginning of it all. And instead, with the exception of like, I would say two things tops that... you kind of have to go in knowing, maybe, just to tie it into the series, the previous series or whatever, which is Pike's future and Spock's past, basically. But they also go
over
that.
Well, you could argue La'an's past. Well, La'an's heritage.
Yeah, okay. So maybe three things. La'an Noonien Singh, for those in the crowd.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, yeah. But... I think that, honestly, they go over that in, like, the first episode. Basically, all you need to know. Yeah. And after that...
Actually, they cover all three of those things in the first episode.
Yeah. Here's all the Star Trek lore you need. Let's go.
And then after that, I think that there's added humor if you know what's going on, if you have depth. But it's otherwise, I think, a really good entry point, which is hard to find for Star Trek.
It really is.
Because... Unless you start at the beginning of one of the series, at the beginning of Voyager, at the beginning of Deep Space Nine, at the beginning of TNG, at the beginning of TOS.
Those old scientists.
I know you'd mentioned, you know, wanting to tie into talking about Loki there with Pippin. I wonder if that's one of the things kind of biting Marvel in the butt right now.
Hugely.
Is that I don't think there is necessarily superhero fatigue so much as interconnectedness fatigue.
I've heard someone compare Marvel movies these days as homework you have to pay for.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. But like, for instance, we all know that WandaVision is an astonishing work of on the topic of grief and even homages to several decades worth of television. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But to go into it, to go into it, to get any level of like of the vibe for it, you gotta know
a lot.
You gotta know some stuff. So much. Like, who the fuck is Vision? What happened in the end of the fucking war? Like, you have to know all that. Same with Loki. Loki, like, they managed to do a little bit with the, like, oh, let's look at memory. Like, here's this fucking guy.
For Loki, you don't have to know the entirety of the MCU, but you do need to know Loki.
You do need to
the Loki bits.
Yeah.
The low-key bits. I tell jokes for money.
Oh my god, that's also true these days.
And it's also just a matter of there's just a too much of the brand that's competing with itself.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that goes into then and why bother or making franchises at all, but like that's like there it's is a what?
I said it's a balancing act, but you go on.
Yeah, like there is like these things do come to a natural conclusion.
Yeah.
And really, I don't think that they really had enough material to stretch out as far as they did after Endgame.
Mm.
Well, they went from, you know, a tentpole release every couple of years to five or six things every single year. It was a lot.
And, like, there's interconnectedness. But, again, it's like what Pippin said with the having to do homework.
Yeah.
And theoretically, Star Trek could fit into the same thing. I would say that it's very difficult to watch Discovery without having a lot of background in Star Trek in general. Because, like, a lot of it's based on, oh, BT dubs, a mirror universe exists, but people are more evil. But also, it's generally darker. It removes a lot of the, I would say, the reason the original Star Trek is what it is it created modern fandom. It did. And it because it showed up on the fucking show, it created a lot of the random fandom tropes that appear in our art. Fuck or die. mirror universe where somebody's more evil and also bisexual.
Pollen.
Yeah, sex pollen. People, the fact that a mind meld exists. Oh, 7 years, you gotta have sex or else. That's fuck or die.
Yeah, and because this, you know, art is cyclical, like,
it's like poetry, it rhymes. go on.
Strange New Worlds it's calling back to what made TOS so fun and why people... But without having to know TOS. Literally, they had a Let's Switch Bodies in, like, season one. They had a musical episode in season two.
The first time Star Trek ever had a musical episode.
Hell yeah.
In all of its history. It's a great episode.
And also, the music fucking bangs.
Yeah, it does.
But they're also very aware.
Still on my favorite list.
It's astonishing. So the thing is that aside from the three facts that maybe you like, ooh, but that they lampshade in the first episode, done. Beyond that, you can genuinely just get into it and have a nice time. Mm-hmm. And as with science fiction generally, learn what you need to know about the universe as you go.
Yeah.
Which is... And that's one of the failing points of Marvel, is that I don't think that you can learn about the universe as you go.
Well, because they don't super know how it works either.
But also because they come in with the assumption that you already know. And therefore, they can just do the shorthand.
And
yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm.
And they only understand growth.
Mm.
And
can you talk more about that?
As you know, currently the Archivist Hellscape is operates via growth.
Yep.
As in numbers go up, profit. You keep on getting more profit, and you do this by just cutting everything else. And so with Marvel, it's just they only understand just make more. Mm-hmm. Or, and don't understand why that's bad.
Mm. Well, and I worry that the times when they do go into further depth, is they seem to save for their television shows.
Loki being one of the best things Marvel's done in a very long time.
Loki's amazing, absolutely. And it's one of the things where, two seasons, it was genuinely perfect as two seasons.
Yep.
Particularly if you consider, like, themes and so on. It's reflections and so on.
Full circle moments.
Ooh, what?
Like, proper ones?
Yeah. Time mechanics done correctly?
Yeah.
Not easy to do. And yet, at the same time, even Loki, the reason it still has the issue of homework. Now, they've built a lot of it into it, particularly in season one. Here's the fast forward of your life. But the fact that they had to do that, I think, is also a failure. They did it beautifully, but...
Though it's interesting because we get that fast forward of Loki's life, which is also brand new information to that Loki, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, it's because the reason why they did that is they wanted to have the characterization of the Loki from the cinematic timeline that we knew.
But he was too dead.
Yeah, he was too dead.
But also means that he didn't have the character growth from, like, Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Or even
Dark World. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's his fault that his mom died, and that really affected him.
But they did fast forward that a lot. Like, I know he's a god, but, like, he's not that much. Like, he's a fancy alien. Like, he's still...
I say that to his face.
I fucking will, bitch.
Say that to Sylvie's face.
Shut up. So, you're absolutely right. The fact that they wanted that character, but that character took literal years and time and trauma to create.
Which is funny, because all he needed was a friend.
A friend and a projector to show him, whoops, this has been your life.
This is your life.
Yeah. I mean, the closest we could maybe get isn't, like, if we were writers, let's say, we could say something along the lines of, well, time works different in the TVA, and so maybe he spent thousands of years living through that fast forward of his life, and therefore he did naturally come to that, like, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, it's a stretch.
No, he spent thousands of years in that room being punched by
that's true.
Lady Sif.
By Sif.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty good.
They come to... Well, it's like, so it's like a VR or machine. Yeah, no. Oh, and then put him into, like a old Loki. Endgame Loki's body as he experiences things and, like, could just be a spectator in his own body. Yeah, and that could have been horrifying thing. But
I'm not sure the TVA believes in cruel and unusual punishment, but that does sound like cruel and unusual punishment.
You're not sure they believe in that? What show were you watching?
Anyway,
so I do think it's a very sad. So I've been, I have not yet finished, getting back to the topic, I have not yet finished watching what there is yet of, what's it called? Of Lower Decks. I have, however, rewatched Strange New Worlds like 5 times now.
Nice.
Good show.
It's a good fucking show. It really explains Vulcans and their whole vibe. It's fantastic.
It's all the fun TOS vibes, but this time with continuity.
What? And only
if something happened in one episode, it might affect the next one.
And only weird. A couple of instances where you're like, oh, you wrote yourselves into a corner, baby. Mm. Oh, you have to get rid of that daughter that you're keeping in a... And a thing, because that's a storyline that goes nowhere. Oh. Oh, that's poorly done. Okay.
Yeah, no, in TOS, we find out about and witness the death of Captain Kirk's brother all in one episode. And we never see him again after that. He's never talked about.
Sam Kirk.
He wasn't... Yeah. And so when he shows up in TOS, in... Strange New Worlds. you know, for everyone who doesn't know, it's just like, oh, he, look at him. Whereas those of us who remember that one episode go like, oh, shit.
Well, and also, there's also, like, in the one episode of TOS where they talk about, you know, that time that Kirk grew up and survived a hideous genocide. You guys remember that, right? Because they talk about it all the time.
Yeah, it's a huge part of Kirk's past. It's kind of traumatized by it.
Yep. Yeah, it informs so much of his personality. One episode. And everybody watching Strange New Worlds now is just like, popcorn.gif. We're waiting.
Hey, what's the genocide you survived?
Tarsus 4.
Oh.
I forget the name of the... Oh,
it's a full-on eugenics, like, kind of situation with, like, starvation and shit.
Yeah, the crops had failed, so the king ruled
by... Kodos? Something like that?
Something. Yeah. Got to decide who got to have food.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. And Kirk, I don't know if this is fanon or canon, but Kirk was a special boy and very intelligent, and so he was allowed to have food.
Yeah, the TOS episode is called The Conscience of the King, if you ever want to look it up.
Oh, and he was like one of, what, 7 survivors on the fucking planet or something like that?
I don't remember how many survivors.
It was insane. One episode. Gets mentioned. And there's Shakespeare in that episode, too. Amazing.
Yeah.
And wait, so, like, does, has someone said, oh, yeah, my younger brother's on Tarvis right now. Well, like,
No, Kirk is... In Strange New Worlds, is serving as an officer and
on the Farragut.
On the Farragut, it's but you we see his profile at one point, and Tarsus IV is a line in that, so it is a thing that happened to that Kirk.
Technically, Strange New Worlds is within the prime timeline. It is not within the movie timeline, which is
Splinter.
Not in
the Splinter timeline.
Yeah, which and that one is also a lot of other people's entry point, and I get it. And that works, but I love that Strange New Worlds can serve as a modern, so you don't have to deal with 1960s bullshit, or 1990s, or late 1990s, or early 2000s. None of that bullshit. and instead, you can still get into Star Trek and have all the fun shit, while at the same time, for those of us who know about the show, can look there and be like, oh, that's coming. Okay.
You got a big storm.
And have 2020s bullshit.
Instead. Yeah. Oh, I like the fact that Spock is still engaged to T'Pring at the start of this show.
T'Pring's fucking great.
T'Pring is so... They've rescued T'Pring, and I love her.
T'Pring doesn't deserve any of this bullshit.
Now I'm seeing her be like, you know what?
She was
right. I'm glad that she
said... Maybe she could have handled it better, but you know what? I bet she tried.
I'm just glad that she did say, fuck you, I don't want to get married now. We all thought that she was being, like, why would you do that to Spock? Spock's great. No, now we know. Now we know.
So yeah, if y'all haven't watched Star Trek, you really should.
Strange New Worlds is great.
Talk about watching stuff. We talked about that for a little while, but we haven't heard what Pippin's strange new obsession or whatever is.
So since I moved... I have watched not quite all. I've got like 10 episodes left of Once Upon a Time.
Oh my god.
Pippin. It's 7 seasons.
She made me watch more than one supercut.
Because Captain Hook is fucking hilarious. Though, I'll let you know, season 7 has forced me to recognize that he's not a good actor.
Oh no. Oh, Pippin.
He's been fun before because I got to, like, every time he did anything, I would get to change, and all he does is lose no matter what, because that's what he does. All Captain Hook does is lose no matter what. But this season I'm like, oh no, and now you're not even, you're getting too much screen time now. Because he has glorious background reactions to things.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, no, so Once Upon a Time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aired on, like, ABC or something.
Whichever the Disney channel is.
Yeah, because it does tie in with Disney more obviously as the show goes on. And basically, the main character, Emma Swan, when we meet her, she's working as a bail bonds person in Boston. and a 10-year-old child shows up at her doorstep and goes, "You're my real mom. You have to come back to Maine with me." And she's
Maine?
All like, "Maine, yes." Most of the series is set in Maine.
Fucking
because nobody's been to Maine. We all know it's a fiction.
It was invented by Stephen King to sell books.
My roommate's from Maine, and making fun of Maine is one of my favorite pastimes.
I mean, we're all from New Hampshire. That's the only pastime.
Yeah.
Maine.
Like, there'll be a second restaurant in town. I'm like, no, there aren't two restaurants in all of Maine. She gets real mad at me.
It's true, though. It's true.
Right?
It's true.
Though she will agree that there aren't two restaurants of that size in one town in Maine.
Oh, way to undercut yourself.
So this little boy, Henry. I don't like Henry. He's obnoxious.
You heard it here. Pippin doesn't like small children named Henry. Small children named Henry everywhere. Cry.
Get wrecked.
Great. Great Coopin' Cat.
Brings her back, and she basically brings him back because this small child should probably be brought home to his fucking parents. And apparently he insists that she's the savior, and she's going to save this town that is full of trapped fairy tale characters who are under a curse and do not remember their former lives. And his stepmother is the evil queen. And he knows it all from this fairy tale book that he got that's full of fairy tales, but not quite as we would know them. For instance, for some reason, Dr. Frankenstein's there.
This is this child's fanfic.
The Mad Hatter is also there.
Mad Hatter, played by my man Sebastian Stan, when he was a youth.
Before he got cast in Captain America, otherwise known as why he wasn't in season 2.
He was also dating the cheerleader from Glee at the time.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Diana
Agron.
And so, Emma Swan is in fact his biological mother. He was born in jail. She gave him up for adoption because her boyfriend at the time,
who was it, her boyfriend at the time, Pip?
His name in her reality is Nick, but
what is it, Pippin? What is it?
In the fairy tale world, his name was Balefire. He was the son of Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin, played by my man Robert Carlyle.
BAFTA award-winning actor Robert Carlyle.
Robert Carlyle, who you may recall from such excellent films as The Full Monty.
Yep. So yeah, a BAFTA award-winning actor, Robert Carlyle, and I will be referring to him as such this entire time.
As you should. Bow to the king.
Plays Rumpelstiltskin in the fairy tale world. In the cursed world, he plays Mr. Gold, the pawn shop owner, who knows more than he shows because he's awake and he knows what's going on.
Wake up, sheeple.
The only other person who knows that this is the cursed reality is Henry's stepmother, or adoptive mother, rather, Regina, who is the evil queen. She's the one who cursed everything.
Regina, queen? Yeah.
Okay. And she's cursed everything because she's super mad at Snow White. So she's cursed everybody to the land without magic.
Ooh.
So that she can keep her away from her one true love, Prince Charming is what Snow calls him. He's Prince James, but actually his name is David, in the fairy tale world and the cursed reality, because fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And David's in a coma. Snow White is a school teacher named Mary Margaret. She doesn't remember any of her previous life, but she does visit this coma patient every week at the hospital because she just thinks, you know, no one's claimed him. No one knows his name. Someone should be here for him.
They've reversed.
Yeah, but don't worry. She still had the sleeping curse in the other fairy tale.
Oh, of course. Is she going to knock him up with twins, too?
Nah.
You make it sound like he's a lost umbrella.
I mean, he's adorable and dumb. Because when he does wake up from his coma, it turns out that in the cursed reality, he has a wife.
Uh-oh.
Because all the relationships were torn apart in the cursed reality. That's part of the curse.
Naturally.
Because Regina can't be with her true love anymore, so no one can be together.
Fairy tale logic.
Yeah. But yeah, and so then he goes and has an affair with Snow White, cheating on his wife. I'm like, David, you asshole. This is also like season one, by the way.
Oh my god.
Back when it was good.
Back when it was good, you say?
Yeah.
So
Captain Hook wasn't in season one, though.
Oh, so your favorite.
Yeah.
So you described this to me. You mentioned, like, there was a turning point for you when this was like this made sense to you.
Somewhere around season three, season four is when it went, oh no.
Which is when you realized, oh, this is a soap opera.
Oh, I realized it was a soap opera early on, and that allowed me to just sort of let it wash over me.
Yeah.
And I learned to stop worrying and love the fact that the Mad Hatter was just randomly showing up, even though he's not a fairy tale.
It's like...
No.
It's like you did the fear is the mind killer chant, but like for soap operas instead. I will not engage in plot. Plot is the...
It's like when I learned to stop worrying about actual Catholicism when I was watching Lucifer.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. No. Why? Yeah. No. It's family drama with a vague, like...
it's comic book logic.
With magic. It's got...
Yeah. Lucifer is comic book logic.
Yeah. That's true.
Because it was based off a comic book.
There you go. Done. And he sings. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
There's also a musical episode of Once.
Well, okay. That one's not a surprise. It was a surprise in Star Trek.
Yeah. But yeah, so the family tree is wild. Because Henry has two moms.
Progressive for Disney.
Right? And then, yeah, Emma and Regina have a really weird vibe. Because the show does not know how to write friendships, really. Or family. It can only really write weird tension romance. So when the characters are meant to be like friends or siblings, I'm like, hey.
Do you have friends? Do you have siblings?
Or if you do we need to like worry about that?
Which explains some tax on AO3.
That's true.
But yeah, it explains it that the writer also wrote that one Folgers commercial.
But yeah, Captain Hook, my fave. He starts out as sort of an anti-hero villain sort of type. All he does is lose no matter what. His only goal is to get revenge on Rumpelstiltskin, his crocodile.
Okay. I mean,
because Rumpelstiltskin killed his love, which is a weird thing to complain about, considering that he stole his love from Rumpelstiltskin, whom she was married to at the time.
One gets the impression that basically they're just bored and need something to do.
He never succeeds in murdering Rumpelstiltskin.
Because he loses.
Yeah, all he does is lose no matter what. He does become pretty good friends with Belle, which is funny considering that when they first met, he like knocked her out and kidnapped her, and you know, stuffed her aboard the Jolly Roger. But they got over it.
They're fine.
She's got other things to worry about.
Totally
like
fine.
Belle's very worried about her relationship with Rumpelstiltskin because he's also the Beast.
They've given a lot of work to BAFTA award-winning actor
Robert Carlyle. Who very often has to work in, like, full-body gold glitter.
No.
When he's in the fairy tale world.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, because that's...
And he's eventually he got a haircut.
That's a low bar, Pip. Real low
and
bar.
And also, season 7 of the whole main cast, 3 returning actors.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Technically, 4 returning characters.
Okay, wait. Is BAFTA award-winning actor... Robert Carlyle, one of them.
Of course, because you know what? There was a paycheck and he's a British actor.
You know what? And respect. That is how you become a BAFTA award-winning actor named Robert Carlyle, is you put in the hours and the work And by God, you turn a pig's ear into a silk purse. Or one might say, straw into gold. What?
Whoa.
But yeah, season 7 set in Seattle.
That's with the other coast.
What?
With a whole different curse.
I mean,
they don't remember who they were.
I mean, they both have apartment, so I guess that makes
sense. That's true.
Ooh, that was a connection.
It scans. It scans.
Yeah.
I feel like we're being writers again and trying to fix something that was broken from the beginning.
I feel like
Henry, the annoying 10-year-old, now an annoying adult. His cursed persona is a writer. And I'm like, where are you getting your money from, babe? Because driving Lyft is not paying for that apartment.
I mean, he is. Well, one of his moms is an evil queen, so you'll probably
not that he remembers.
Ooh. Maybe he has a trust fund somewhere, the other place to get money.
I mean,
you either marry well or you have a trust fund. Sorry,
fair enough.
Sorry, people listening. The secret.
But also, the character started a podcast.
Oh, I feel he is a writer. I feel called out. Fuck.
Right? He starts the podcast, and like the next episode, he calls to call to from New York, asking him to produce podcasts for their network, but he'd have to move there. I'm like, that's not how this works.
Wow.
Hey, Brendan, how's that Harry's Razor money coming in, by the way? How are we doing with that?
I still haven't gotten that phone call yet, guys. I'm sorry.
Whoa. He says as he sips from his $1 million gold mug, with his perfectly shaved cheeks. Smooth as a baby's bottom, they say.
I also don't know if Harry's promotes like that anymore. I think they got their...
Oh, we're already... Oh.
We missed it?
Yeah. Our one chance, our one opportunity.
I don't know. HelloFresh keeps on promoting stuff, so maybe we got a shot with them.
All right. Brendan lifts up his mug, and now it's not gold anymore, but it's filled with, like, fresh vegetables.
Thump, 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 thump.
But yeah, that's what I've been watching.
Consuming.
I don't recommend it.
I don't want to watch it.
No, I also...
It's fun, but not...
Yeah.
But, it's something.
It's fun, but not...
And that's the end of the sentence.
Something.
I mean, it's something to talk about. I mean, woof.
There we go.
I mean, so I recommend mine. Gold
buys a baby.
Wait, what?
Mr. Gold, I'm sorry, buys a baby.
Like one does.
I mean, to be fair, I would say that's unrealistic, but we all remember George Santos.
Oh.
How dare you do that to Rumpelstiltskin? He doesn't deserve that.
George Santos was Rumpelstiltskin. He was BAFTA award-winning Robert Carlyle.
Just ask him.
Yeah. I will never get tired of George Santos jokes.
So the other thing that I've been doing, which I think Brennan's been doing too, and I think others have been dragged into at least conversations about it, is I've been listening to the audiobook versions of Discworld.
Same.
Mm. I've not been listening, but I have gotten... through the Humble Bundle, the entire series. And I've read a couple of the books, but now I'm just biting the bullet and going through chronologically, and then maybe I'll skip one or two if they're not great.
Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Although,
how far are you?
I'm partway into Light Fantastic now.
Oh no. Sorry.
But
I mean, enjoy.
The thing is, then I got kind of distracted, like a little while back, there was the whole H-Bomber video about plagiarism, then I ended up watching his vaccine video again.
Yeah.
And then I thought about getting the book written by Brian Deere, going into detail about the vaccine hoax guy.
Yeah.
Fascinating read. Holy crap, these people are terrible.
Correct.
Yeah.
And things, I don't usually delve into nonfiction, so kind of, again, branching out a little bit.
Welcome to the weird side. I largely, when I'm not doing, I will do audio fiction these days, because it's something I can listen to while I'm, like, driving to work or while I'm at work. What? Mm-hmm. No, I always concentrate fully. But for, in terms of buying books, aside from the Humble Bumble, which I also bought, I do a lot of nonfiction, but it's all historical or primary sources of, of 1600s household manuals, you know, like you do.
Normal stuff. I also recently got, through the library, got A Libertarian Walks Into a Bear. It's a story about Grafton, New Hampshire.
Ooh, what?
Circa, like, 2000-ish. You didn't hear about this.
What?
A bunch of libertarians tried to take over Grafton's town government.
No.
And things go downhill predictably.
Oh, no, never.
A bear is involved.
Multiple bears.
Because surely a public amenity, like, say, garbage collection, you can just... That you who are,
I don't want to pay no taxes for that.
I gotta say, like, trying to do something shitty in New Hampshire, like, with the idea that, like, oh, it's conservative, therefore, is like trying, it's like the old joke of, like, trying to win a land war in Asia, or trying to invade Russia in the winter. It's you've made a terrible mistake from the get-go. Because, yes, New Hampshire has a lot of issues, but holy shit, it will, however you think it's going to behave, it fucking won't. Like, the primary thing is live free or die. And we two options. Mean it. Two options. That's, in as much as anything's binary there, that's what it is. Like, so it's like, I'm sorry, are you trying to prevent me from living free? Then fucking die. That's what it is. And if living free means I don't have, like, my trash gets picked up, cool. But also, just the orneriness of New Hampshire folk being like, I'm sorry, are you trying to take over? I'm sorry, what? In which case, we will now do exactly the fucking opposite of everything you want. Because you are trying to, again, prevent me from living free.
We're contrary assholes, is the point.
That is basically the point. Yeah.
Also, speaking of the Humble Bumble, I figured out what I did wrong.
Pippin realized that we all bought the full one, except somehow she...
No, I did. I did buy the full one.
Uh-huh, what'd you do?
I couldn't find it when I was searching for it, because I was spelling color with a U.
Oh, no. Did they Americanize it?
The cover has the U, but the metadata at least doesn't.
Oh, Pippin, is that like a metadata sin for you?
I mean, it prevented me from finding it.
Can you still re-download it? Or can you still get it? Or is it...
Oh, I have it. It's right here.
Oh, so she just couldn't find it.
Yeah, I just couldn't find it before.
Oh, so...
this is past me making a mistake.
Hooray!
So I would say, Bren, I am not surprised that you got distracted from the Light Fantastic. I'm going to say it. One of the things I love about Pratchett...
Say it ain't so.
One of the things I love about Pratchett is that you can very much see his growth as an author.
And honestly, that's kind of why I'm going about it like that, because, you know, it's the adventure.
I get you. But, like, for instance, Pippin and I... Moist von Lipwig. Pippin?
Moist!
His book starts with Going Postal, and I genuinely think that the BBC version of it is the best BBC production that they've done of a Pratchett book.
Hmm.
Even though they've made some choices. Pippin, choices?
The choices were made. At least one. Great.
Oh, that's true. That was a good one. But also, like, it for a complicated fantasy, they made it work.
You know, Discworld, great, amazing, only partway through, but holds up, for the most part.
Indeed.
Some bits you go like, oh no, you were written in the 80s, weren't you?
You know what though? I'm gonna bring this full circle. Discworld, interestingly, has, the issue, but I would call it the solution point between Star Trek and Marvel. In that has, there's definitely lore that's useful to know. There's definitely repeating characters are useful to know, but it has multiple entry points.
There are you can pick it up from anywhere.
Yeah, you can, and there's many different ways to start reading it. so that you do not have to have the experience of you have to have read all 18, 30, whatever number of books there are.
38.
Something like that.
You know, technically, the witch's books start with equal rights. You could start with that, or you could skip right to Weird Sisters, and you would lose nothing.
You could skip straight to Tiffany Aching.
I was going to say, just skip to Witches Abroad.
I was going to say skip straight to The Next Generation with Tiffany Aching, which is actually the children's books.
Yeah.
I will say being an adult is realizing that you actually have the most fun hanging out with Nanny Ogg.
I know, right? But, or worse, the wizards.
No, I understand the wizards.
I know. Point is, though, that, there's... And I mean, maybe that says something about fiction, about reading versus video media or what have you, visual media. I think it's a fascinating way to get into it. Pippin, would you recommend that once is a thing that you could just pick up partway through?
No.
No. Amazing. Okay, so we're getting to be the. I think we've hit all of our notes here. So.
Yep.
We usually do a game, but like fucking why?
Nah.
We've gone at length now,
and we opened up with what you guys are doing. So
yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is, do we want to just live talk for a minute about what we want to do next? It's hard for us to get together. It absolutely is, but do we want to try to make a goal of not a scheduling goal. I mean, like, the thing we want to talk about next.
Well, technically, next in the queue, who is Brent, and has Potts at a screenplay adaptation that he did. We never got around to it because life happened.
What?
Life found a way.
To fuck over our schedules.
Yep. What else is new?
I mean...
So we could do something like that.
Like if book six or seven Space Ace Detective.
Where's my fucking Space Ace Detective, Alex?
Where is he? Where's my fop?
where's the Space Ace? I need to know her adventures. I need the first book. Because Pippin and I then need to start writing fanfic about it. Yeah. Immediately.
Good times. Well, it depends. Which do you want first? I'm in trouble and he's a detective or a the space what's the big race like in France?
NASCAR?
No.
Like, Grand Prix?
Yeah, the Grand Prix. Yeah, Space Grand Prix.
Or Formula Day,
I think whatever it is, we can discuss it offline.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Point is, we're going to try to get that together.
We're getting the band back together.
Hell yeah.
As always, if you have an idea or prompt to submit, head on over to nostorysacred.com/themission. Follow us wherever our social media is these days.
We'll put it somewhere.
Or send an email through contact@nostorysacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostorysacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. And please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostorysacred. This includes sibling blog posts.
Lies. Rampant lies.
Writing, you liars.
We really should start phasing out the Patreon.
No.
No.
No. We just have to figure out a way to make it work. Go on.
Sibling blog posts, new access to our pre-show recordings, proving that we're just like that even off the air.
We do have those.
And on-air thanks for our top patrons, which I didn't look up to see if we have any.
Fuck it, let's just say John. Hi, John. John P.
What up, John?
Thanks, man.
Anything left to show?
I am. I am still working on my, and I've gotten restarted on my book for Heart's Choice, The Tutor.
Nice.
Thank you. Because
it'll be out.
It'll be out someday. Maybe when I finish it.
And then you get the mug.
I get the mug at chapter 2, Pippin. You fucking promised.
We'll see.
Oh.
And so see y'all next time when we talk about whatever it is that we're going to talk about.
Maybe read. Until then, maybe buy The Price of the Stars and read it just in case.
Maybe.
Yeah, just get caught up.
Yeah.
Read the main rules.
Yeah. All of them, just in case. Yeah.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case. Until then, we're no story sacred, and any story can be changed. I'm Pippin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Brendan.
And we're...
No story is sacred.
See you next year.
See you next time.